the Pete Hoffman Show on WFAN.
888-808-1019. Pete off with you on the fan till 5 when Richard Neer takes over. You can always hit me up at Hoff WFAN. Don't forget to download the Odyssey app. Hit that rewind button if you missed anything at all. We open with David Stearns and Steve Cohen as, again, the fact that last year the quote out of Steve Cohen was, we want the fans to change their mentality. We want sustained success, and we want this to be the feel, the regular, that vibe of being in the playoffs, winning series, going deep in the playoffs year in and year out. I love all that talk. Like, that to me is exciting, and that's what I thought I was getting with Steve Cohen. And so far, it's been every other year. Think about it. He's been here for 4 years. The first year they failed. Remember, the Mets went and got Javi Baez and traded for Javi Baez when they were in a playoff push, and that backfired. The next year, they went out and got Max Scherzer, Starling Marte, Mark Canna. They went out and got some pieces, and it helped them. James McCann, I believe, too. That was one of the other pieces that they brought in. They were able to get to the playoffs and then die the slow death, or quick death, actually, as San Diego came in and just basically beat them up and spit them out. And then the next year was awful. Was a disappointment. Everything went bad. Jacob DeGrom leaves. Justin Verlander comes in. Again, overpay for Justin Verlander. That backfires. We trade off them. We get as many assets back. All of a sudden, last year, no expectations. And that's the team that makes the playoffs again. So now it's every other year with Steve Cohen. But at this point, after you said what you said, the expectations go back up high. So don't go halfway. If you're going to make those statements, you need to be able, and I'm torn on this. I don't want Steve Cohen to basically tell David Stearns what to do. I like the fact that David Stearns knows what he's quote-unquote doing. I still disagree with some of his moves. And I disagree with the idea that you can't have both. I disagree with the idea that you can't just pay Pete Alonso and still achieve the goal that you're trying to achieve, whether it's Vlad Guerrero Jr. or whatever it's going to be. When you have the richest owner in baseball, that to me is something where you shouldn't be able to say no. That's not realistic to have Vlad Guerrero Jr. and Pete Alonso on the same team with Juan Soto. That's unrealistic. What's unrealistic is to have sustained success with bringing in one of the best players in baseball and not giving him protection, to creating a pitching staff filled with a lot of question marks and think that that's going to be a team that's going to be able to win you a lot of games and keep you in close games with a pitching staff. That's unrealistic. Realistic is saying you have a league where there is no, I know there's luxury tax, but there is no hard salary cap. You could do what you want. You could defer as much money as you want. You could be as creative as you want. Steve Cohen has the ability to sign Pete Alonso, to sign Vlad Guerrero next year, because again, you don't want to go and trade away all of these pieces that you're trying to build up for Vlad Guerrero Jr. for a rental player, especially if he doesn't come back. Point is, you can get both things. You can have both things. You can have it all. You have the money at your disposal. And you have the creativity with David Stearns. So don't go cheap. Don't miss out. Because, well, this is what the market says, and I'm not going an inch over. You can show your flex. flex off a little bit. Show that you, listen, again, no one's saying that you didn't flex with Juan Soto. You got that piece. But that's not it. That's not the be-all, end-all. Again, Aaron Judge has played for the New York Yankees for how many years? How many World Series have they won? He's a great player. He's one of the best hitters in baseball. Maybe one of the best players in baseball. He is one of the best players. He may be the best player in baseball. They haven't won squat. They were in a World Series last year. Why? Because they had Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. And their pitching staff is much better than the New York Mets. And their bullpen is much better than the New York Mets. But they had a lot of holes too. So you have to be able to, if you want to swim in this water, you have to be able to go all the way. You have to be able to say, you know what? Keep on dishing out that money and bringing in the big fish that we need, or the pieces that we need to help this team win now while we're still developing. You could do both. I know that may not be, you know, David Stern's thing. Maybe he wants to prove that he can still be this good, or the Mets can be, you know, get back to the playoffs and do what they did last year and be smart about it and not have to spend all that money. But I got to be honest with you. I don't trust it. I don't believe he could do it 2 years in a row. I don't. And he's going to have to. Because, again, they're not getting any more big fish. It's over. It's done. Big fish are done. It's small, little tiny fish that they're going to bring in. To me, you have Juan Soto, it's just not enough. And listen, you want Francisco Lindor in there too. That's fine. He was here last year. The team needs to get a lot better. And they didn't do it. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Mike in Brooklyn. What's going on, Mike?
Good morning, Peter. How are you today?
I'm good. What's going on?
Not much. Listen, first of all, a little shout out to my son for happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And thank you, my man. All right, so let's get into it. Bravo, because you're finally on board with me as far as the last 2 months of what I've been telling you, this whole team, that we're not any better. We're better at one position. Our pitching staff stinks. And we're basically status quo, if you look at everybody, with a ton of questions.
Mike, the difference between you and I is this, and I'll say this. I know that you were on board with this a long time ago, but the difference is that I'm not sitting there and saying that they were always like this. I think I gave them the benefit of the doubt that they were going to get it right, and they're proving me wrong. So I was wrong, because they're playing, and I've always said this for a long time now, that I did not believe that David Stearns wanted Pete Alonso back, and now I'm right. He didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I said that too. I said that, I think, from March when they first got Stearns or whatever, that I didn't think he was going to bring Pete back. Pete's like a one-dimensional guy, and he likes these guys that can play different positions. You know, be DH here, first base here, you know, do something else. You know, he likes these guys for some reason. But look at, and I sent you the spot track. They're already at $300+ million. So they're already way into the second ring of that luxury tax, and almost like, I think, $20 million away from the third ring of the luxury tax at 60%. So they showed you last year. Stern showed you last year. And I think this is the reason why Cohen brought him on, is that, yeah, Cole will go out and get the guys, like you said, like the Lindors and overpay, the Scherzers, guys like that, and even Soto. Soto is way overpaid. We know this, right? But the reason why he did is a pissing contest over the Yankees. We know this.
Right.
But, and he's a great player, but who knows how long he's going to be great for. Okay, fine. But what happened last year? He showed you a J.D. Martinez versus Gentiascar Hernandez, right? Because they were way over a luxury tax already, that they went cheaper instead of better. And this is going to be a problem. You know, until they really solve that and get a better farm team, this is going to be a problem for them for the next couple of years. And this is what they're going to do. They're going to get one good guy here or there, and then the rest is going to be these land of misfit toys and see, oh, you know what? Let's take a flyer on this guy.
Yeah, but with this is where now, listen, I will tell you this much. The Wilpons would have never gotten Juan Soto. So let I'm going to save everyone that comment. But honestly though, it's kind of similar to that because the Mets would always make one move a year and then call it a day. Yeah. And that's not enough. You know that. Baseball, it's always changing.
I agree. But look at what it called. Like, if they went, like, they're nowhere near. Come on. Like, even with Sasaki, they have, like, 10. The Dodgers have, like, 10 quality starters right now. Without, you know, even they didn't, obviously, Kershaw didn't sign back yet, and Flaherty's still out there and stuff like that. But they have, like, 10 quality starters, which is ridiculous. If we want to emulate good teams, even like the Braves, look at what the Braves did. They like, I think their GM is way like, they don't give them enough credit. This guy actually not only they were consistently a good team, and on top of it, the guy drafted fantastically, right? And so, and then what they did was they brought these guys up, like the Harrises, the Acunas, the Albies, etc. They bought out the arbitration eligible years,
right? Yeah,
paid them less per year, right? And then added the guys like Olsen, added some pitchers, did stuff like that to get a quality team.
Yeah, and part of the reason why, and again, I hate to say this because I feel like the baseball fans don't realize this. Matt Olsen's contract is very, very team friendly. He wasn't a free agent when they signed him. They traded for him. And they offered him big money. He came from Oakland, and he never had that type of year that he had 2 years ago, that MVP type of year that Matt Olson had. He had never had that.
Last year in Oakland, he had a good year.
Had a good year, Mike. Mm-hmm. Didn't have an MVP type of year. Didn't do what he did. He didn't hit 53 home runs. He didn't hit for like a crazy OPS. He didn't have 100-plus RBIs. Like, he had a good year. So he had a good year, and they traded for him, but he still had arbitration, and they bought him out, and they gave him a huge contract, and he's like, let's go. Pete Alonso hit free agency and had expectations.
Yeah, and listen, just the last thing, the whole pitching thing, that whole thing drives me absolutely nuts. Because number one, Seve and Manaea were both going, they were both going for contract years last year, number one, right? So, Seve, obviously, the year before, there was the issue with him tipping pitches, which is something that they
I'm happy the pitching lab helped out with. So maybe there is, maybe I'm doubting them too much.
Well, I don't know about the pitching lab. That might have just been the pitching coach or a better pitching coach.
Jeremy Hefner, Maybe he is the lab. Who knows?
Yeah, and then Manaea as well, the same thing, right? But again, he pitched, this was 1 year. Look at, like the call said before with the Montas is a world. Holmes is going to be like your seventh inning guy with it by May. Watch. I'm telling you, this guy's not a star. He started three times with the Pirates. He's not a starter.
Here's the thing, though. You've now you've seen pitchers do, like, we didn't think that, I'm blanking on his name in Kansas City now. We didn't think that the relief pitcher that they were was dying to become a starter. We didn't think the Mets did Lugo. Thank you, Seth Lugo. They didn't think he was going to be a starting pitcher, and he had a great season last year. He had Cy Young stuff for the first half of the season. Then you look at Michael Lorenzen, who's kind of doing the similar type of thing as well. He's now not as effective, but he could do both. Yep. Spencer Turnbull is one of those guys too that could give you multiple innings, and it's like, it's one of those things where if they can, I understand the philosophy of the Mets. If you can give us an ERA of 4.5, we'll take it, because if you go five innings, a 4.5 ERA is like, what, three runs? If you go six innings, it's three runs for six innings. It's like, that's good. So I get what the philosophy is.
Like when we were texting before, like I said, if you have Buehler in the sixth, you have Holmes in the seventh, depending on what happens, him in the seventh, you have Minter in the eighth, who could potentially close. Holmes could potentially close occasionally if Diaz, pitched a couple of days around. Then you have Diaz in ninth. It's almost like the 2015 Royals, where, these guys, these misfit toys, like the Montas of the world, only have to pitch five innings. But you know, listen, we'll see. I'm just frustrated because I think we could have, you know, we could have had the Burns of the world. We could have maybe made a trade for another ace. Like, and that's another thing where he says that he doesn't want to pay these young guys. These guys, money, these pitchers. But look at what he took a not a bad deal, Burns. He's only 30 years old, right? And he got, what, 5 years? Which is not a long-term contract, right?
No, I thought he got a six-year deal. 6 years for two and change. I forget exactly what it was.
Oh, I thought he got five for some reason. But look at what he, because he always.
Six-year, $210 million.
Okay. But then look what he called. Look, like he had all these guys, like, as rookies under control when he was with the Brewers, right? So he didn't spend, but they drafted fantastic. So if they do something like that with the Mets, great. But right now they don't have that.
Well, and
so
Mike, here's the other thing too, is we don't know. And thanks so much for the call, Mike, as always, dude. You're the best. But you don't know if Stearns is drafting now, right? Like he's in the drafting protocol. We're not going to see those guys for a couple of years, a few years. So we don't know how good his drafts are going to be. Right now we're basing it off of what Billy Epler has done, what Billy Epler has brought to this team, what, you know, Sandy Alderson brought to the team. We're looking at all those things. That's what we're looking at. We're not looking at, you know, David Stearns' draft just yet. He's had one. He's been part of one. He's going to have a second one coming this year. But that's still, and those are still far away. You know, they just signed somebody for the international money, one of the top prospects out there. That's awesome. That's great. I hear great things, amazing things. They put all their money into that one player, and that's great. Hopefully, he turns out. But we'll have to wait and see. Like those are wait and sees. We're still in the right now. They just went to the NLCS last year. I am not accepting. From Steve Cohen and David Stearns, that last year you get to the NLCS, and then this year you miss the playoffs. And unfortunately for me right now, if what I understand is correct, that it looks like there's only two moves left, and that's Jose Iglesias and maybe another relief pitcher, who knows who it's going to be. They got A.J. Minter, so probably not Tanner Scott now. It's probably going to be somebody else, maybe Kirby Yates. To me, if that's how this roster is going to look going into spring training, without Pete Alonso, without another big bat, without a top ace to the staff, I got to be honest. This is a team that doesn't look like it's going to be as good as it was last year. And last year was a lot of luck. And I'm not denying that. They were a mediocre team last year, but I knew baseball was mediocre and they can get into the playoffs that way. I felt comfortable that they'd be able to do it. They pulled it off. But there's a couple things missing. Talent. there's protection, talent. You know, I got to be honest. When we're signing Frankie Montas and Griffin Canning and Clay Holmes and thinking that Clay Holmes, all of a sudden Clay Holmes, last year all I heard was he's not really that good. He's not that great of a ball playing guy, blah, 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 blah. All of a sudden, though, the Mets are going to make him into a starter and it's going to change and all of a sudden he's going to be amazing. I mean, I can't buy into that. I'm not. 888-808-1019. Pete Hoffman with you on the Fan. We'll get back to your phone calls. More on David Stearns and the pressure that he's going into year two. I got to be honest. This is a very big year, big offseason for David Stearns. I understand you want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but to me, if you're walking away from certain players, from certain things, certain opportunities, this is maybe a do-or-die year. 888-808-1019. Pete Hoffman with you on the Fan. Hit me up at Hoff, WFAN.
I would like to get to know you, baby. Like to get a piece of that sexy body. I would like to get to know you, baby. Like to get a piece of that sexy body.
888-808-1019. Pete Hoffman with you on the Fan. And last night, Julius Randle returned to MSG and basically put a smackdown on the New York Knicks, who are unfortunately right now, they are getting too worn out. I mean, that's kind of what it is. That's how it feels. New York Knicks are just worn out. by the time the fourth quarter comes around, starters can just not keep in tempo, and it's as simple as that. They need help. They need better help. Mitchell Robinson obviously is still, you know, rehabbing, and who knows when he's going to come back, but doesn't seem like it's going to be relatively quick. There is optimism that he's going to, you know, come back sooner than later. But again, even when that happens, even when Mitchell Robinson does come back, you know, how long is he going to be around for? When is he going to get hurt next? But the real storyline is the return of Julius Randle, obviously, because you know, he was, as much as you want to say it was a failed experiment with Julius Randle, it did work. You reestablished the New York Knicks as being a top team or a major team in the league. Talk about sustained success. They were in the playoffs multiple times with Julius Randle. They won multiple rounds. They've won rounds with Julius Randle. The biggest problem is as they got deeper in the playoffs, he just wasn't effective. In the playoffs, he wasn't effective. Other players around him were effective, but he himself was not effective or just wasn't healthy. Again, last night, not the biggest night for Julius Randle, honestly. 34 minutes, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 8 points. It was really more Anthony Edwards than anything else because he's just a stud. But the Knicks, you know, Anunoby, Hart, Bridges, Brunson, Achiuwa with 36 minutes as well. Those guys getting, you know, the fact that Kat's not there too is obviously significant. But those five guys right now, they're getting the most minutes. And it's hurting them being able to sustain, you know, competition, to be competitive in those deep parts of the game. I mean, getting outscored to Minnesota 35-21, that's an issue. In the fourth quarter, it's an issue. And it's happening multiple times. It's happening to the better teams. Obviously, the Oklahoma City Thunder are a team that has taken advantage of the Knicks twice now. Again, Knicks are going to be a playoff team, but they need to get past that hump from where they were last year. They need to get to a different level. And right now, with a short bench, without Mitchell Robinson, without Karl Anthony Towns, without another real true sixth man, the New York Knicks can't go far. They don't have the depth. And this is not a thing of like, well, that's why they should have never traded DiVincenzo and they should have never traded Julius Randle. No, Julius Randle had to go. Like, at some point in time, you know, you realize that you can only do so much here. And Julius Randle was effective, had his moments, but he went as far as he could with this team. And DiVincenzo, by the way, has not been smooth out in Minnesota. So it's not like he's having this brilliant of a season that we're like, oh, we really could have used him right now. Yeah, again, just a body off the bench. There's other people out there. Knicks got to find somebody. They have to. Otherwise, this is going to be another short stay in the playoffs. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. Pete, off with you on the fan. Let's get to Mike in Cortland. What's up, Mike?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. What's going on?
Good. You're 1,000% right. 1,000. You can't sign Soto to that contract and not do anything else. Least of all, not sign Alonzo to, you know. We got it. It'll be so remiss on the Mets ownership to see what Alonzo would do for 1 year with this team right now with Soto here.
Well, that's gonna be on Pete though. Like at this point in time, I'm sure they've offered like a 1 year deal. Well, not saying they've offered a 1 year deal, but I'm sure they've come with packages and discussed certain things. I don't see them again. Here's the other thing too. Even if you did offer Pete a 1 year deal from the Mets, I don't think they're good. And I truly believe that David Stearns does not want Pete Alonso here. I really don't, because they probably would offer Pete Alonso a 1 year, $25 million contract. And because that's above market.
How about, since he's been with us for a while. He's homegrown and everything. Why don't we do a three-year, $90 million deal with an opt-out after the first one for each one? With a vesting, if he hits like 35 homers and 100 RBIs, the other 2 years will vest. Otherwise, the Mets have the option to get out. Because you know what's another thing? Here's a couple of other things that go into play. You're throwing Vientos from third, who's not heavy. He's had a pretty good defensive year, to first. He has not much experience there.
Right.
And also, what would rejuvenate Alonso's career, in my opinion, and I don't hear this being said, is having batting him second in front of Soto. He will see a ton of fastballs. If you have a Lindor, Alonso, and Soto, I think just to experiment with that for a while, I think that would do wonders because Soto's not going to see much pitches to hit, and Alonso would probably lead the league in double plays if he's batting behind those two.
I don't know if that's really the place that you really want to put Pete Alonso in front, but I get to try it. But I want to lengthen this lineup out right now. Like right now,
yeah.
you got four guys. You got Lindor, you got Vientos, you got Soto, and I guess you got Nimmo. And to me, Nimmo is not like, you want to get deeper. Oh, Jesse Winker, Starling Marte, your guys are going to play the DH. You know, McNeil's still there, but I don't trust him anymore as a hitter. I don't.
Yeah, true.
Brett Beatty, they're going to bring up. Like, again, it's not a very sexy lineup to me. And Nimmo's a guy that needs to be in the bottom half of the lineup. He's not somebody that you got to sit there and say, ooh, he's going to be our leadoff hitter. Talk about a guy that was a leadoff hitter for how many years and stole zero bases. All of a sudden, they move him out of the leadoff spot, and all of a sudden, he steals like 10, 15 bases. I'm just like, what are we doing here? Where was this beforehand? What made you be motivated to steal a base after you got moved out of the leadoff spot? Like, all you're good for is really big. I'm not trying to be a jerk about it when it comes down to Brandon Nimmo, but all I hear about is, oh, he gets on base. But if you go station to station, what does that really mean? If you get on first base, I need you on second base. And Lindor did that last year. Lindor did that once he was a leadoff hitter. And I got to be honest with you, I'm okay with him being a leadoff hitter. I'm fine with it. For anybody that says he's not a real leadoff hitter, no, he actually can do it. He did it great last year. So why don't you just keep him there?
But unless they have something, unless Stearns, and I like Stearns, I mean, the job they did last year with that team was amazing. But unless he's got something up his sleeve, I don't know how you could fool. I mean, Soto signed, what, a month ago? And I'm waiting, and I'm saying, what's taking so long? I mean, I pick up the phone, I call you, okay, let's get this done. Boom, bing, bing. It shouldn't take long. I mean, what was taking long? And that started, I'm saying, what's going on here? What are they doing? But now, how could you go in signing Soto? Half of that contract is really garbage because once he hits 36, 37, we know the rest of that contract is going to be garbage. Give him a chance. Let's see what he could do. Try to do something, like I said, with 3 years with a vesting option if he does hit something in the first one. And then if he doesn't, then he could go back on the free agent market next year. Give him $30 million for 1 year. He deserves it, for what he did here. Give him an extra $5 million. What's the difference? But let's see what he could do. Make it happen. Make it happen where he's here for 1 year at least. And then he could be a free agent again if he doesn't. If he really is going to, like he last year, then we know. But we don't, so...
Mike, a great phone call, but you kind of are, kind of going in and out the phone line. So I'm sorry about that, but great phone call up at that point. No, I agree. Like I think that they should try. Listen, you just worked a $765 million contract with options. It's going to be up to $805 million. All this stuff. You're telling me you can't figure out a way to be creative with Pete Alonso? Look what the Dodgers are doing. Like, they deferred all this money for Shohei Ohtani. You're telling me that you can't find a way to defer money, that you, like you said, vesting options, whether it's incentive-based, whatever it is. You're telling me you can't find a way to be creative with Pete Alonso to bring him back here? I mean, that to me, give him a freaking $10 million bonus. Yeah, you know what? You're right. Maybe his AAV isn't, his market says it's $23 million. But give him a $10 million bonus to begin with. And it doesn't have to hit the AAV. Like, what are we doing? be creative. But that's David Stearns not wanting Pete Alonso. And that's how I feel. They don't, not saying that Steve Cohen doesn't want Alonso. David Stearns doesn't want him. So whatever conversation that Stearns and Cohen had about Alonso, it went in one ear and it went out the other. And basically Stearns is saying, I don't really want the guy. We could find other options. We could wait next year for Vlad Guerrero. We could do this, that, the other thing. Why do we have to wait? Why do we have to take a year off? And I use the word on the Rico Bronya with Evan Roberts. I use the word punting on a season, and he hates that. So I'm trying to find a different word to use. But it feels like we're skipping over this year as being a 2025 as being a year that we're taking seriously. We're not being as serious as next year, because next year, hey, there's somebody else we can bring in. But what about right now? What about the team right now? And I got to be honest with you, this is something that I was concerned about what the Yankees were going to do if they signed Juan Soto. I was concerned if the Yankees signed Juan Soto that the Yankees would not have gone out and gotten other pieces to support their needs for their team. I believed that when the Mets got Soto, that Steve Cohen would say, hey, we got one guy, let's get more. Let's add to the party. And I was wrong. 888-808-1019. Gary, Phil, Val, we will get to you guys after the break. 888-808-1019. Hit me up at Hoff, WFAN. Pete Hoff with you on the Fan. You can always hit me up at Hoff, WFAN. Don't forget to download the OC app if you miss anything at all. By the way, if you missed anything earlier yesterday, there was an announcement made. Roki Sasaki made his announcement on Instagram that he's chosen a team. He's chosen. Not the Toronto Blue Jays. The Los Angeles Dodgers. I mean, was that even a shocker? I mean, I predicted this months ago. I think we all figured that he was going to go to the Dodgers. It's kind of stupid at this point in time. Like, Yamamoto, Ohtani, they all went there. It's not like a guessing game. It's not like, ooh, who's going to have a real shot at him? And the Dodgers made sure that they had enough money enough international money so they can go and pay him. You know, it's the Dodgers have been very lucky. I'm not going to say they're cheating the system, but they've been very lucky. They have been very lucky that the fact that they went and found a star, the only star in baseball to go and defer 98% of his contract for the next, you know, for the next 10 years. That $700 million doesn't really have to kick in until 10 years from now. That he could play for $2 million a year. Obviously, there's taxes on it and whatnot. But $2 million a year, and it's fine. That helps the team. And then on top of that, you have another in Roki Sasaki who wants to come. He's got a contract till 2031 on a rookie deal. I mean, they're just stepping in it. They're getting lucky every which way. I mean, they got to go play the lotto if they haven't done it already. And then you just keep on getting richer. With Yamamoto, with Snell, with Glasnow. I mean, they traded for Glasnow, but then re-upped his contract or whatever it is. But Mookie Betts. They bring back Teoscar Hernandez. So, you know, when you look at the Mets and you say, oh, well, they can't spend money everywhere. You can't do that. Or they do. Or you could do that. You know, like that's what it takes to build a great team. The Dodgers just won, and they're going to keep trying to win year in and year out. And tell me where, yeah, Will Smith is their catcher. They brought him up. They just got rid of Gavin Lux. You know, tell me the homegrown guys that are currently on that roster that have been there for a decade and are making a major impact. Besides the couple that I've mentioned. No, they just keep on recycling and then signing big contracts. Or signing contracts for guys that are going to impact right now. So they keep on winning. And yes, of course they want to build up their prospects and their minor leagues. Of course they want to do that. So they can trade them for other pieces. I mean, let's be serious. They keep on, the Dodgers cut one of their top prospects, who was a top prospect a couple of years ago. They cut him because there was no more room. Like, that's what's happening. They're just stacking themselves. Whether it's smarts, whether it's whatever, they're playing the market, or they just don't care and keep on spending money. And, yeah. Maybe in 20 years from now, maybe they're going to be a bad franchise. But at the moment, they're in great shape. They just won a World Series and are probably going to be up there to be the betting favorite to be win the next World Series. I mean, that's just what they are. They're a stacked team. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to these phone calls. Pete Hoffman with you on the Fan. Hit me up at HoffWFAN and don't forget to download the Odyssey app. Gary is in East Meadow. Gary, what's up?
Hey, you know, Hoff. So I disagree with you about Alonso. I was always an Alonso fan, but I know baseball doesn't have a salary cap, but they do have a luxury tax that he doesn't want to go over that next 301 thing. And Alonso turned down three big offers from the Mets. It's not like the Mets haven't made him fair offers.
Well, you said three big offers or three fair offers?
Well, he turned down $7,158.
Okay, that and by the way, let's just break that down, Gary. They offered that before David Stearns was there. So, okay, yep. That's the first one. What's the next one?
He turned down $390.
Never was offered. Never was offered. That was a rumor. Never offered.
And then he turned down the $370.
Yeah. Again, so he doesn't that to him is a slap in the face. That to him is not what he's looking for. He was looking between 175 and 200. Obviously, they came down for a deal that was more in the ballpark of what David Stearns wants. It's a 3-year deal. They're going market value. He thinks that his value is worth more, and his value he thinks is more towards a 3 for $90. And they don't want to give that to him. They don't.
And then the last report was that the Mets offered him a straight 3 years, and he wanted 3 years with opt-outs every year. So that tells me he doesn't want to be here.
No. First of all, they did offer him the opt-outs. They offered him the opt-outs. I didn't hear about a 3-year straight deal. I don't remember what that was. But listen, Gary, there's a lot of rumors out there. You can't trust them all. The two that I will believe or that I know for a fact are the 7 for $158. And the 3 for between $68 and $70. That's all I'm believing.
And then you have to remember, everybody's making it sound like even if they went into opening day with a third base combo of Acuna, Iglesias, Bailey, you know, with the roster that's on March 1st and the roster that's on July 1st or August 1st, there's going to be moves made in between. Not every move has to be made before spring training. And
Gary, I'm sorry to say, but there are teams that are put together going into the season. And, yeah, maybe you need to make an adjustment here or there. But you don't have, like, the Dodgers, and I'm going to keep on going back to the Dodgers because that's where Steve Cohen wants to be. He wants to be a top team. So if you want to be a top team, you have to prepare like you are a top team. Top teams are ready to go. The Yankees, I don't know if you believe this, but the Yankees are ready to go opening day. This is not an opening day lineup to me for the Mets. They are not. And for you to say, well, come July, August, you could always make moves. You've got to be in it. If the Mets couldn't figure out a way, and they were just after being 11 games under 500, if they've played 500 ball the rest of the way till the playoffs or till the trade deadline, they would have never tried to make a move to add to the team to be, you know, competitive. Just wouldn't have happened.
Then let Alonso defer 98% of his salary, and then he can be like the Dodgers.
But that's just, come on. There's no, Gary, there's no other player in sports who's going to do that. So why are you going to ask Pete Alonso to do that? That's stupid. How about you ask Juan Soto to do that? He's making $765 million. Ask the guy that, Gary, we both can't talk at the same time. Ask the guy that's making $765 million to do that. How about that? He's set for life. And I'm not trying to compare money. I'm not saying that Pete Alonso's Juan Soto. But don't sit here and say, oh, Shohei Ohtani, you know, deferred money, so Pete Alonso should do it. How about Juan Soto do it? How about Francisco Lindor do it? How about you rework some other deals? How about you do all that stuff? And by the way, I think Francisco Lindor has some deferred money. So, yeah, you could defer money to Pete Alonso too, but no other franchise has players that are willing to do what Ohtani did. Just not happening. 888-808-1019. We'll get one more quick one in. Raheel, my girl in D.C.,
hey.
What's up? How you doing?
Hey, Pete, happy holidays. I didn't hear, you know, I've always tried. I heard you the other day. You know, this is my favorite show. I've told you that before. Except that your favorite listeners have to listen to you at 3 in the morning right now.
I know. I'm sorry about that. What are you doing right now?
I can get you those signatures.
Yes, please. Working. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Well,
yes.
Monday's a big day.
Is a very big deal. That's right. Yes. You're in D.C. Yeah. You're very busy. So I get it. I respect it. God bless.
So I had to call you because I need the insight. You know, you got Rex Ryan on TV saying he has 100%. I want to segue from your baseball stuff for a second. But you have Rex Ryan on TV going on and on and on and on about having the inside track of the job. Yet they're and you're an insider. So why is he doing that when Mike Tannenbaum is sitting right next to him saying, you know, he's the one that's going to make the judgment on, you know, the calls on who is, you know, the GM, et cetera.
Because Rex is flashy. Rex always has something to say. You know that.
Yeah, but he's saying he has the inside. And yet they're trying to hire all these coaches. I figured, you know, if they get the right person in and, you know, and Woody Johnson, I mean, it's just a whole mess, you know, because I was going to buy the season tickets, hoping that if they brought in somebody and stuff like that, you know, my friends out there and stuff like that, we would share, you know, the tickets and stuff. But man, it's just a mess. So what do you have? Because you're the best and you're going to tell me exactly what's going on.
They're interviewing everybody. I'm surprised you didn't get an interview yet. I mean, they're literally interviewing everyone in the world and they're doing their best to find somebody. Who's that going to be? Right now, Aaron Glenn seems to be the favorite. He's the one who wants the job. Do I think he's going to succeed? That I don't know. Again, it's all about Woody Johnson there, Raheel. It's all about whether Woody Johnson is going to be able to let him do his job.
Is Rex lying? Because he said he has
the inside job. Yeah, no, Rex is done. Rex is not getting that job. Rex is not getting that job at all. And plus, they need a GM, too.
He's on Greeny all the time saying that he has the inside track. So that's why I'm calling you, because I know you're an insider and you would have the info.
Well, I appreciate that, Raheel. I appreciate you have that trust in me. I'm not as much of an insider as you think, but I will tell you this much. He does not have anything to do with his team. He wants the job. He's not going to get it. They still also need a GM, by the way. That's the other thing that they need to do. I think who's the guy that just got – I think Borgonzi is the Chiefs guy. Did he just go? I think I'm blanking on. Yeah. He is, I believe, let me just look that up real quick. not that they're made the decision.
Tell me one thing. Who do you feel should get it? Because if you say it, I know for a fact you've done all your research. One thing about you is I've heard you too many times now. You do your research, so I know that you have the inside track of who you think will be better. Because I'm going to base the season tickets on that. So I'm not going to be paying some big money on something that I'm not going to use.
Well, Raheel, I got to be honest with you. I don't think next year is going to be a great year for the Jets. I really don't.
I know, but I mean, if A-Rod comes back, I like to try one more time.
because of Aaron Rodgers? Okay.
Well, no, you know what? After all these years of being here now, you know, I've told you before, this is my bandwagon team because I'm a Niners home-based team.
Yes.
But since they're not around, and I'm not a Commanders, and I'm not a Ravens, and I'm not any of those, I like the Jets. I don't know what it is. I like their... They still have some swag. They go out there and they try. You can't blame them for that.
Well, I mean, listen, if you want to look at it this way, I mean, Rodgers didn't have as bad of a season as we make it out to be. His numbers came okay, but the record was terrible. Who do I think the Jets are going to get as a head coach? I do think it's going to be Aaron Glenn. I don't think, though, that he could change all the problems. Now, is he going to be motivated? Okay. Can he be lucky? Yeah, he could be lucky, but I just don't know if that means that Aaron Rodgers coming back too. That's the other thing. It all depends on the GM, and that I don't know. I don't have a clue on.
Okay, and one more comment on the Robert Saleh on the the interview with the Dallas Cowboys, because it sounds so ridiculous.
Yeah, well, listen, Robert Saleh. I think that Robert Saleh may have opportunities in the future because look what the Jets were after he left. And Raheel,
I'm talking about the Cowboys. I know him because of the Niners. He was our coach for a while.
Right.
But I'm talking about with the Cowboys.
Would he be good with the Cowboys? That team still has a lot of messy parts to it. And Jerry Jones is still much heavily involved with the team where I think they can't separate the two. I think you need Jerry Jones to give up the reins. And there are certain teams
that's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, it's not. And Raheel, I got to take a break, but thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Pete. Have a good night.
You too. I think Robert Saleh is better suited for one more stint as a defensive coordinator. That's what I think. That's what I got to be honest with you. Let him be a DC, and he can get back into head coaching again. He needs a little bit more prep, in my opinion. 888-808-1019. Phil, Val, Steve, we'll get into more Mets talk coming up on The Fan, but here's an update now with Marco Belletti.